Welcome to the podcast of Hope Community Church. Hope exists to be a church where people can experience the transformative power of the gospel in the context of grace-centered community. We strive to be real people looking to the real Jesus for real change that can have redemptive impact among individuals, local communities, our city, and the world. For more information, visit hopecommunity.com.
Hear God's word now to us from Luke chapter 2. Verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. This is God's word. Let's pray together. Father, thanks for this time and the joy of being here together with the excitement that we're feeling. Thank you for Nikki and her sharing the Christmas story with our kids and with all of us. Lord, would you give us childlike hearts tonight as we think about the Christmas story here just for a few minutes and as we go from here into tonight and tomorrow, Christmas Day. So meet us now. Give us your spirit as we think about this passage. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, at this point, here on the afternoon of Christmas Eve, I hope that we're all done with our Christmas shopping. I mean, it's like 3:58, you know, the day before Christmas, so I feel like that's a safe assumption and a good pastoral hope for me to have for you. But I do say that with grace, as someone who many times has gone down to the wire with my own Christmas shopping, thankfully not this year. But I'm not always a good planner when it comes to these things. And I hear about those people sometimes who will be thinking about Christmas presents for people in their life, like in June or something like that. Sarah's even done that kind of thing for me before where she's gotten me something and is like, yeah, I made a note. I was like, oh, that's a thoughtful gift. She's like, yeah, I made a note like in July or in the middle of the summer on my phone and I got it for you. And I think that's amazing. I love that as a concept. But I have not been able to get there yet myself. Maybe some of you are like that. But the best gift givers do that kind of thing. That's what they do. They're so thoughtful. They're so intentional. They often plan way out in advance. And as a result, when you receive a gift from someone who gives it to you like that, you feel it. You feel their heart. You feel their care. You feel their love for you. Well, the Bible tells us that God is a person and a gift giver like that. The scriptures tell us he isn't someone scrambling to Amazon in the last minute as he provides for us and gives us his blessings and care, but he's intentional. He's so intentional. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows what we need and what we ask for before we even say it. He's always working everything for the good of his people who love him. But the hard part is, it doesn't always feel like that. In fact, it often does feel like God has been thinking about something else, that he has been busy, and he is sort of scrambling as he plans and works his plan in your life. And the Christmas season can make us extra aware of some of these things. It's a milestone date, the end of the year is coming. We get together with family and friends. We have extra time off from work or school. We have more time to reflect. And so it can be a time where we think more deeply about our life and where we are and what God's doing or what God's not doing. It can be a time where we question and wonder about God's plan and if he's really at work for us and our good like he says he is. Well, into those kinds of questions and feelings comes this story about the birth of Jesus. This simple story from the beginning of Luke chapter 2 that I just read. Because what strikes me about this story is how understated it is. Before this, angels have come in miraculous fashion and told Mary and Joseph some of what God's planning to do. But the way Luke tells the story here, he makes it sound like it's nothing but a simple set of circumstantial events. Like, here's what happened, and then here's what happened, and then here's what happened, and then Jesus was born. The way Luke tells the story, he doesn't talk about all these things God is doing, ways God's being intentional and working his plan. He doesn't even mention God's name at all. He just lays out the story. And it all starts with a census he tells us about. In verse 1, he says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town." And so Caesar Augustus was the Roman Emperor Octavian. He ruled from 27 BC to 14 AD, and he was a powerful, mostly well-thought-of ruler. At his death, the Roman Empire covered 3,340,000 square miles, a larger area than the mainland of the United States. He ruled a population of anywhere from 70 to 100 million people, and he was known for the peace he brought, coming after the violent reign of the emperor who came before him. And he once visited Greek Asia in 21 BC, and he was praised there as Savior, as the bringer of good tidings, even as God, the Son of God. So he was a big deal. What he said went. When he made a decree, all the world, meaning all the Roman Empire, did it. It wasn't optional. And so here Luke says, Augustus made this decree for a census to take place, and everyone in the Roman Empire followed the instructions, including this nobody couple, Mary and Joseph. And then Luke tells us this is what triggered them to go to Bethlehem. And why? Well, verse 4, Luke says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." Why? Because he was of the house and lineage of David. And so Joseph, the man that Mary, who's pregnant with the Messiah, the real Son of God, is betrothed to, just so happens to be of the house and lineage of David. So he's not a king or anything like that. He's just a regular guy. But that's his ancestor. And Bethlehem is the city of David, so that's where they go. And then the last thing Luke tells us about, so when Mary and Joseph get to Bethlehem, it turns out to be the time for Mary to have the baby. And there just so happens to be no room for them anywhere but the animal room, so that's where Jesus is born, in the feeding trough. The way Luke tells it to you and me, it sounds like this whole story is nothing but the result of a set of random circumstances coming together at the right time. It's like the way Moses tells the beginning of the Exodus story as God raises up another earlier deliverer child to rescue his people. In the part about Moses' birth and rescue from Pharaoh's order to kill all the Hebrew boys, circumstance after circumstance comes together so he's rescued and brought safely into Pharaoh's own house, and God's name is never mentioned. But his fingerprints are all over it. And that's what's happening here. Because from the outside, for someone living in the story, it's like, oh, these are just coincidences. Caesar Augustus happens to make this decree. Joseph happened to be from the house of David. They happened to get to Bethlehem when Mary was ready to give birth. There happened to be no room for them in the regular part of the house. But we read the whole Bible and we know, no, God had been planning this. 2 Samuel chapter 7, God makes a covenant with David. He promises him, "I will raise up your offspring after you, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Micah chapter 5, "From you, Bethlehem, is coming the ruler of Israel, the king who will shepherd his people and bring peace." And Isaiah 53 says that when this king comes, he's going to be humble. He's going to be a servant. He's going to be a manger, feeding trough kind of king. The point for you and me is, for some reason or another, God likes to work this way. I mean, no one in the story understands what's going on. Mary and Joseph sort of do. As I said, the angels have come to them and told them something about this, and they do their best to try and understand. But we know from Mary, even later in the Gospels, that she didn't even get it then, so she certainly doesn't get it all right now. No one did. And the same thing is true of the climax moment of Jesus' life. The moment he was born at Christmas for. When Jesus was dying on the cross, no one knew what was going on. It wasn't until later, with the resurrection and Jesus coming to find his friends and giving the Holy Spirit and explaining to them what happened. They all thought, it's over. We lost. He's not the Messiah after all. But it wasn't over. They didn't lose. God was working his plan that he made, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, before the beginning of time, to give them and to give you and to give me the greatest gift we could ever dream of. The gift of himself. The gift of his presence. The gift of forgiveness from our sins, reconciliation, eternal life, everything you could ever want and need in Jesus Christ. See, part of the good news of the Christmas story is that God is the thoughtful. He is the intentional. He is the planned, way far out in advance kind of giver who wants us to know his heart and the deep love he has for people like us who need him. Christmas shows us he has the ability. He can use everything from a mighty emperor's decree to the timing of a birth and the number of open rooms at a small town inn. Christmas shows us he has the desire. He wants nothing more than to give us his son and all that comes with him. And so let me just ask this. What does this mean for you this afternoon? What does this mean for you this Christmas? Well, doesn't it invite you to see God's plans and his work in your life this way? Sure, it's great when you can see what God's doing in the moment, when he does make it clear. I love when I get to see that for me, and I would like to always know and to be able to name exactly what God is doing in my life. But so many times I can't. So much of the time, I have little to no idea what God's doing in my life. But the story of Christmas, the God of Christmas, and the gift of Christmas says that's okay. You don't have to, because this is who God is. And if you belong to him, his fingerprints are over all of your life. And instead of looking at your life through the lens of fear and stress and worry, it invites you to look at your life through the lens of wonder and opportunity, of curiosity and adventure. I love the words Jaber Crow, a character in a book by Wendell Berry, uses to reflect on his life as he looks back on it as an old man. Here's what he says: "Often I have not known where I was going until I was already there. I've had my share of desires and goals, but my life has come to me, or I have gone to it, mainly by way of mistakes and surprises. Often I've received better than I have ever deserved. Often my fairest hopes have rested on bad mistakes." He says, "I am an ignorant pilgrim crossing a dark valley, and yet, for a long time looking back, I have been unable to shake off the feeling that I have been led." The gospel of Christmas says you can begin to see your life that way. You have been led. You are being led by a God who loves you more than you can know. And at the center of where he's leading you to and from is this little town of Bethlehem. And the manger and the baby, Jesus Christ, born for you as a gift. And as Paul says in Romans 8:31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for, again, just the time to be together and the reminder this Christmas of the kind of heart you have for us, the kind of gift giver you are, that you would give us your own son. And I pray that you'd help us to believe that and that we would be able to see our lives with this sort of wonder, sense of wonder and opportunity and adventure, even if we don't understand what's going on. But we would know that your fingerprints are all over our life. And we know that because we can look at Jesus and see your fingerprints there working out our salvation in him. Help us to believe that tonight and as we go into tomorrow and beyond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.